1-800-875-5145.
Are you surprised the electric company in California, PG&E, had the okay to fix the pipe near that blast in San Bruno? They simply had not done the work. And then there is once again Ahmadinejad bellowing to one of our networks that Muslims do not hate Americans as he tries to jump right into the fray. I'll explain. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, as we zig and zag all over the map. That's the fun thing about this show. When you tune in, we're not focusing just on flying saucers and whether or not there are aliens. Not that George doesn't do a fabulous job of that. And we're not focused on just one thing beating you to death with the same crazy topic of the day. Instead, we like to think that we're the show that meets all needs because we have ADD, as many of you do as well. The big talk as of yesterday was what happened in the elections and the Tea Party victories, especially in Delaware with Christine O'Donnell and the fact that the Republicans didn't really recognize her victory because Mike Castle was a guy who was the long-time Republican incumbent in the House for two decades and was the governor of Delaware twice, and yet she beat him without Republican backing. It was all about the Tea Party. So finally today, the Republicans were forced, I think their hand, they were forced to react. Here's what Michael Steele, the chairman of the Republican Party, had to say. And you got
I look forward to electing Christine, the next senator from the state of Delaware.
I was going to say, he almost choked on those words there as you heard him right in the beginning. So it was looking pretty dicey because even Karl Rove, who was the master strategist between Bush's, you know, for Bush's both of his elections, was no way, we're not, there's no backing here, we're going to lose that seat, pretty much is what he said. But then what happened is Rush Limbaugh went on the air, and he encouraged donations for Christine O'Donnell, knowing that you got to spend some loot to get elected in the end when it comes to the midterm elections. She can't go up against the Democrat and expect not to spend anything and have everybody suddenly realize who she is, even though the grassroots method worked to get her through the primaries in the first place. So let's see how much money is raised to help her, but now it looks like the Republican National Committee is going to come through maybe with some money for her in Delaware. But, boy, they were hard-pressed and tight-lipped to say anything about it. And then, of course, there are the other candidates that we've talked about. We'll open that wide here on ATN. We have four big hours. We'll be talking more about that and what does it mean. What does it mean for the Republicans? What does it mean for the Democrats? The Democrats are saying that this is an advantage to them because they feel as though the upstart candidates will not get elected, so that while they've won the day in the primaries, can they really do it in the midterms? All right, when I first cracked open the mic, the first thing that you heard me talk about was the situation, of course, with the pipe and PG&E. Because I lived in California, and I know about this electric company, this power company, that is like the devil on the left coast. And once again, it always seems to come back to this with Pacific Gas and Electric, right? They got permission in 2007 to spend $5 million of ratepayer money to replace this pipeline that exploded last week. So now, you heard what I said, 2007, it's 2010. This was a 62-year-old section of pipeline that they knew had problems. So they were going to do the work, I guess. It was scheduled for 2009, but it wasn't done. The utility repeated its request in 2009, asking for the $5 million, and then they were going to $5 million more, and then they were going to try to do the job by 2013, even though ratepayers already started paying for the project. So, boy, there's going to be massive, There would have been anyway, but there's going to be massive lawsuits, I think, that PG&E is staring at, because this pipeline that you're talking about is 1.5 miles north of the segment that exploded, and it was considered to be one of the top highest risk lines, the section, in an evaluation that was done back in 2007. That's why that date came up. But sure enough, when it exploded, it killed at least four people. Dozens others were horrifically injured, destroyed tons of homes, where, you know, the description of people running through flames is ridiculous, especially since it was on the radar. And they knew that it had expired because the lifeline for the pipe that was put in was 50 years. And this was a pipeline that was made of steel. And so now other people are questioning, what about the pipes running through my neighborhood? And I know I went off on this in a previous show that we're always reacting instead of acting ahead of the game. And this is another one of those examples of it. So, of course, now it's on the radar. And there's been legislation that's sent to Congress on Wednesday during the day that would increase from $1 million to $2.5 million the maximum fine for serious pipeline violations. That includes killing people. Killing people when you knew damn well you had to fix the pipeline. Guaranteed. I know there are other troubled spots and things that had to be done. I'm sure that the company deals with, because they're all over the entire state. But knowing it and knowing how expired the pipeline was, wow, that's just ridiculous. So how are these pipelines even monitored? We do have the bridge thing that happens in Minnesota, which was horrific. Then we find out how many bridges actually need repair. Now we have the pipelines. What's next? It's what you come to expect, unfortunately. And I hope that those families just go for the jugular and knock PG&E off the map, because I think that's one of the most outrageous things. The fact that they knew for so long and nothing was done because they were heel dragging and, oh, we need now more money or whatever, just completely unacceptable. All right, speaking of going back to plug up a problem, how about this? You know these unused wells in the Gulf, because now all of a sudden there's red flags all over that. Well, this is the deal. Because the standards weren't there before, now in the Gulf of Mexico, oil and gas companies are going to have to permanently plug 3,500 temporary abandoned wells and then take apart about 650 of the platforms that are just sitting there. They're not being used. They're just out there in the water, sitting there. And this all goes back to the aftermath of the BP oil spill disaster in the Gulf. Now, the American Petroleum Institute is not excited about this because they were willing to work with regulators on a reasonable time frame, but they're concerned at what's the potential cost to the industry, and what about the ability of the companies to get the permits to decommission activities, all that sort of stuff adds up to big bucks. And now, all of a sudden, it's thrown right back in their face. All right, coming back on the flip side, we got odds and ends. Stay with us.
This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study, called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutrition additional tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center Seal of Approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the Buy 3, Get 1 Free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at DiabeticHealthSolution.com.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Rizin. Mojo Rizin is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Rizin is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Rizin works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Rizin will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Rizin will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Rizin, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Rizin at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Rizin all night long.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
What do you think it takes to buy voters' love? I could have saved this for We Can Count at the end of the hour, but this is just too juicy, folks. Meg Whitman, in case you haven't heard today, the Republican candidate for governor of California, has surpassed the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, for the highest personal contribution in American campaign history. Can you guess what that number is? You ready? $119 million. I mean, she's got the money. She's a billionaire. She was the woman behind eBay, in case you don't know her business background. So, $119 billion. Imagine the guy running against her, who is the Attorney General, Jerry Brown. Boy, talk about being outspent. You know, who's got the biggest pile of dough? It's not even a question. So, will this get Whitman elected? You know, in California, the big push is for business, because, man, we are so upside down. We need people who know business. We need the business background thing. So, the Democrat is lagging behind when it comes to that amount of money. Meg Whitman's face is everywhere in Cali. And pretty much in the polls, they're neck and neck. She might have pulled a little bit ahead. But how much money does it take for Meg Whitman to get elected? The answer is maybe more than $119 million when it's all said and done. We start off with the grassroots deal and Christine O'Donnell, the 41-year-old who nobody knew a couple of months ago, and she pushed the Tea Party. You know, she was a candidate from the Tea Party. She embraces the Tea Party, and she toppled Mike Castle, showing that people are furious. I think that's where that comes from. People are furious over what they've seen again and again and again, or Castle would have been reelected. Because if you go back in the history of American politics, there's no question the way the political machine works, somebody gets in, and if they catch fire enough with the voters, even if they have a rough time occasionally getting reelected, the incumbent wins, the incumbent wins, the incumbent wins, which is part of the problem. Term limits are a good thing. I've kind of switched on this. Initially, when I first started thinking about politics and doing political things, doing sidebar columns or so pretty much writing about it before I did America Tonight years ago, I would have thought the opposite because of the log jam on the Hill. Okay, well, how can you get anything done if you don't get in there and you're not there for a while? Now I say forget it. Show us what you got, get something done, and then see ya. Let's bring someone up. Let's have a mentoring program and see if there's somebody in the wings that we can bring up behind you. So O'Donnell tries to raise the cash. Meg Whitman pours in her own money to the campaign. And lots of other candidates have done that. I mentioned Mayor Bloomberg. I mean, Bloomberg, listen, he gets them to vote him a third time. Even though he's only supposed to be elected twice in New York City, he gets that on the ballot and gets elected three times. I was thinking about this today. Do you think there's any way he goes for the even four? I think I need to help the city of New York, and I can only do that. I can only help New York City if I have one more term, so I'm going to put it to you, the voters. I'm just kidding. I don't think even Bloomberg will go that far. Anyway, O'Donnell is a game changer, to say the least, and we're going to have more on her throughout the upcoming weeks, and also what's happening with the Democrats and the Republicans and all these races, because all the House seats are up, and 37 Senate seats, also 37 states will be electing governors, like Meg Whitman's running for the governor's seat in California. Topping O and E, besides what Whitman spent, this story really got under my skin. And I happened to see it. Somebody sent me a link to The Smoking Gun. If you've ever gone to The Smoking Gun, you know, they get documents and print things, and they have they're famous for their mug shots, the crazy mug shots. If you have like five minutes on your hands someday and you want to get a real laugh, click on the mug shots. And they're bizarre, I'm telling you. But they did follow up on this one story about the screener. Remember the TSA screener who in Miami, who was working at the Miami airport? What happened was he assaulted a coworker who taunted him about the size of his genitalia, let's say, that was exposed by, guess what, a full body scan. So police say that he just snapped. He snapped because of getting bombarded by all of his fellow employees who kept asking him, what size are you, and asking him all these questions. And so he just, you know, they lit his fuse. They stirred the cocktail up, and that was it. And he walked through the whole body image deal. It was during a training session for TSA, for the workers at the airport. And 45-year-old Rolanda Negrin was then beat up psychologically, I guess you could say. So he gave a report, told the police what happened, detailed everything that happened. And he said he asked everybody to stop, to lay off. You know, we used to call it playing the dozens, but then there's a line in the sand where you can't play the dozens anymore, so they were more than doing that. And they would not stop it after the scanner gave them a real look at his body. And they kept saying it, calling him little angry man and whatever. So he got stressed out, had elevated blood pressure, they say. And then when he went and confronted the guy in charge, the chief pot stirrer, and also in charge of the employees, the man just laughed. So, you know, one thing led to another, and then the altercation happened in a parking lot, and it was pretty ugly, I guess. So Negrin is scheduled for a trial hearing on the 25th of October. Now, this is the key thing here. This is a TSA worker. A TSA worker goes through with a full body scan, and he's getting harassed by all the other people that work there. So you think that you're safe going through the body scan without everybody checking your, let's say, your junk out? Of course. And then we find that you can save the images. Because, of course, you have to save the images. If they're going to go back and catch someone or look back at something, they're going to have saved images of the people who go through. So the more I think about it, give me the pat down. I don't want the pat down either. I mean, I try not to break the law so that I don't have to be pat down in an alley somewhere or spread-eagled over a police car. But after really reading this story about the harassment that the worker got, I mean, these are workers there. And this was just a test. So this was the test of it. So now we're talking about our privacy, and we're talking about kids. And originally, no image could be stored or printed or emailed or could be retrievable. Oh, the machines won't save the images. And then, oh, well, yeah, I guess it can save the images, but we won't do that. So the idea of going through there and having that happen, yeah, that's just a little over the top for me. And especially when I think about kids, younger kids, teenagers going through, and then that's what happens. Come on. All right, we got one for you for the books when it comes to the weather. Boy, these hurricanes. I'm hurricane weary just trying to memorize what the hurricanes are. So 5 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, Hurricane Julia was actually upgraded to a Cat 4. The other hurricane, Igor, still at a Cat 4. But really, Julia is now the strongest hurricane on record that's come this far in. So the other time that it happened was back in September of 1926. And the reason I'm saying that is because the storm was downgraded to a Cat 3 just a couple of hours ago. And it's this weird 12-hour swing where only the second time in history that you had two Cat 4 hurricanes active at the same time in the Atlantic. So Julian and Igor were both that high at one point. Ooh, can you imagine that? Can you imagine it, them hitting landfall, both of them? Ooh. Luckily, no. That doesn't look to be the case. But you always have to look at the radar, because who knows, a storm veers here or there, and then it's a completely different story. Coming up next, we have an interesting story for you, no doubt. I think you're going to enjoy our next guest, Jay Jennings, who's going to talk about Little Rock and what happened to some football players there and what changed the town of Little Rock back in 1957. Don't miss it. Hang with us.
Attention gun owners. You're into guns and many people you know are into guns. Well, someone needs to maintain, clean, and repair those guns, and it could be you. Now get a free How-To Gunsmith DVD sampler from AGI, the American Gunsmithing Institute. Learn the art of professional gunsmithing as a part or full-time career. Develop a lucrative business by learning the art of gunsmithing through over 71 exclusive DVD training courses. Get started today by ordering our free DVD sampler video and catalog at AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. See how to quickly learn firearm disassembly, reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. To order your free DVD sampler and catalog, call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Ask about a bonus $10 savings coupon when you call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now, restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Back here on America Tonight, you're going to love this next guest. Check this out. Jay Jennings is a veteran sports writer, right? He's known, if you read Sports Illustrated, I think I started getting Sports Illustrated when I was like 7, and the New York Times, a whole bunch of other stuff that would take the entire interview to name. And now he's written this new book called Carry the Rock, Race, Football, and the Soul of an American City. And it's referring to Little Rock, Arkansas. If you remember back in the late 50s, it became the battleground. The country's most infamous school integration battle was right there. And he's written a book about it. Jay, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight. Now, I understand you're from Little Rock. Is that part of what got you interested in writing the book? Or was it partially the, you know, what drew you to the story, in other words?
I was born in 1957, so the integration battle and I grew up together. It's when you grow up in Little Rock, it's just a part of the atmosphere. You hear about it all the time. It's taught in schools, and having grown up there, you know, I heard about the history part of it, but I was also experiencing, you know, some of the aftermath as I was going through school and as integration was being, you know, litigated, and I was being bused across town. And so it was just part of who I was, you know, when I was growing up.
Explain, because as you said, you were born in 1957, so you were really young when it happened, but you could feel that as you were growing up through the years. But what were the kind of stories that people told you when things were actually happening, when you had the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division and the National Guard involved in what was happening there? What kind of things did you find out?
Well, it was a huge media event. It was really the first widespread media event of the civil rights era, and it took the story international. It was all over the newspapers, and of course I was too young to know that, but my parents were raising two kids, and so they were involved with that. But as you grow up in Little Rock, you hear about it all the time, and you see these the New York Times headlines. It was on page one for 2 months, and here you are going to school in the same buildings where the integration fight took place. So it's history. It's right there. You know, you can reach out and touch it.
Has it changed very much in Little Rock? What's it like today? I mean, here we are these many years later. Are some of those feelings still hang over Little Rock? What are your impressions?
Well, that's what I sought to investigate, because I'd been in New York for 20 years, you know, writing for national magazines, and had written some about Little Rock, but I returned home on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the integration fight, and I really wanted to take a snapshot of and investigate how race was playing out in Little Rock today. And the way I sought to do that was to follow a high school football team. I was a huge sports fan, and when I was growing up, and I played high school football, and it just seemed like, instead of going into the classrooms and investigating real, you know, educational issues or those kind of things, I thought you'd get a truer picture of how race was lived in the city by, you know, being with those kids on the field where you know, football is a meritocracy, really. So the kind of long-term race relation problems that we always talk about in terms of the schools, you know, I'm not sure they were playing out on the field. And I wanted to see how white and black players would interact and how coaches dealt with those issues. In some ways, Little Rock is still a very divided city, as are many cities in terms of their, housing patterns. And we're still, you know, dealing with some of the after effects of the battles of the Civil Rights era.
Yeah, and you played football, and talking about sports, I think sports is a uniter, and I think that's what you're saying there too.
Exactly.
Do you feel that now, especially? I think especially now. Maybe it wasn't before, because you had to have the desegregation and the integration and all that other sort of stuff. But I think now more than ever, it's if you talk to anybody on any of these teams, you've done it, I've done it, and you can see how sports is like the common denominator, I guess, right?
Exactly, and that's where I learned to, you know, view African-American players beyond the stereotype. We were all just football players, you know, and so it was, that's where I really learned that there were other people who, you know, had the same interests that I did, who didn't look like me. And what was interesting about going back today on the field and seeing how the players interact is that there was and I guess this is an encouraging thing, is that there was a casualness about race that I didn't experience, that my generation didn't experience. And, you know, they listen to a lot of the same rap songs, they play the same Xbox games, and even though they don't always, you know, hang out at each other's houses, I think they still have a lot of the same references that things that would have separated us don't separate them anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's you've heard this expression. When Bill Clinton became president, and he's known for Little Rock, too, people talk about Clinton all the time being from there, and he's Arkansas, right, and the Hogs and football and all that stuff. But also, when I've covered politics, so often people say, well, you know, he was really the first black president. Yeah. Why do you think that expression just naturally falls out of people's mouths when they think of Bill Clinton?
I think partly because of the way he grew up, and it highlights, in fact, that a lot of our racial perceptions are really socioeconomic perceptions. He could relate to to the black populace because he grew up in, you know, poorer conditions than you know, the Roosevelts or some of the other political families. And I think that's one thing that I think that's one reason why he's viewed that way.
You spent a year with the team, basically. You spent a year doing this. What were some of the things that you walked away from after? I mean, spending a whole year is a lot different than recollections and interviewing people, and although that stuff adds certainly to the book. But when you're really in there and you spend that much time, what did you walk away with? The biggest thing that you took away from the experience.
I think it was that we're more alike than we are different, especially now, and that a lot of the times where we separate ourselves, you know, by the way we look, are really just false dichotomies that we set up. And I think if we didn't sort of hew to those stereotypes so readily, because it's a safe place to go, to, you know, hang out with people who look like you, mm-hmm. that we would find that there are more similarities than differences between us. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned. But race, overcoming those stereotypes is a long process.
Yeah. Do you think ever we overcome this? Do you think ever in this country? I mean, I know this is such a big question, but from where you grew up, from where I grew up outside of Philadelphia, just your perspective, do you think we've come a lot further, and do you think we ever overcome this?
You know, I think we have, but I think it takes an effort. You know, it's not just going to happen naturally. You've got to. There was one a black city councilman who I talked to, who was a football star at Central as well, and he asked a question, which I think is the key question of my book, which is, are we really embracing each other, or are we just tolerating each other? And I think to make the effort to embrace someone who's different than you is, you know, it causes you to have to take some chances and step out of where you feel comfortable sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, but I see that happening a lot, even in Little Rock now, in the community. And so I think there has been significant progress.
Yeah. Hey, one last one. We'd be remiss not to ask this after the years of me reading so much of your stuff in SI and others. And we do this thing called Nail the Score. I used to fly with the Cowboys and covered football, too. I'm going to really put you on the spot since you're a football guy.
Oh, God.
Who do you like this year to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I'm going to anger a lot of Cowboy fans, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a terrific year, and I think the Packers are going to go. I don't know. I might have to go with my hometown Jets too. You know, my adopted hometown Jets.
Yeah.
They weren't looking so good the other night, but I'll stick with them.
I was going to say that. You know, I got sucked into the whole thing with Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And then I was that boy that first game out of the chute, but it's just one game, right?
That's true. They got Revis back. He'll shut them down.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, the book is called Carry the Rock, Race, Football, and the Soul of an American City. Jay, if anybody wants to pick this up, how do they do that?
You can go to, for more information, you can go to carrytherock.com, which is my website. But it all should be in, you know, your favorite bookstore. Independent bookstores are I frequent, so but wherever, you know, Barnes & Noble, Borders, any your favorite bookstore should be there.
All right, so it'll be pretty easy to get that. Thanks, Jay, so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You've got your gold, water filters, and storable food. Now for complete self-sufficiency, make your own fuel with Revenor.com. Don't laugh. A quality still from Revenor.com and our free book included with every still is all you need to beat the high cost of gas and stop dependence on foreign oil. Find out how easy it is to legally make your own alcohol fuel at R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. Revenor.com. Find quality alcohol stills.
Did somebody say stills?
That's how Grandpappy made his own sour mash, and you can too. Revenor stills can be used to make brandies, liquors, whiskey, vodka, and more. All perfectly legal with a permit. You should check into having your own Revenor still at Revenor.com. That's R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. 1 year warranty on all stills from Revenor.com. Fine quality alcohol stills.
Time for another edition of We Can Count. All right, so hang on. We're going to hopscotch all over the place. How about this? Obesity costs the U.S. economy. We almost need a drum roll. $215 billion a year in direct and indirect impacts. How do they determine this? We're talking about medical expenses and lost productivity. That's according to this study that was done by the Brookings Institute. Researchers found that the medical costs especially amounted to $147 billion more than for those of healthy weight. And the cost of kids amounted to $14.3 billion. So this just plays into the whole obesity thing. I'm telling you, if you have any flab on your body, you got to start losing the flab now. Otherwise, there's going to be a scale when you get to the airport. They'll probably make you step on a scale before you get on the subways or the buses. I mean, let's hope it doesn't come to that, because I'm not for that. I'm for people being healthier. And, hey, listen, how many of us don't struggle with that? Lots of us struggle with that. I think most of us struggle with it in some form. What's the old saying? You can never be too, rich or too thin. As of 2002, about 500 million people were overweight. That's what the Brookings Institute said. 500 million people. Wow. So we move from obesity to Fox News finally airing this $1 million donation to the Republican Governors Association. You know, that spot, it finally aired on Tuesday night on Fox. The network had rejected the ad because of a couple of different things. There was a bunch of back and forth with the Media Matters people about the spot. And Fox didn't like some of the things in it. Remember, Fox donated $1 million to oppose Democratic candidates this November, which is what the ad concludes. So during this whole thing, when you watch it unfold, it says, and now a special message about a story that's not yet been covered on Fox News primetime, brought to you by Media Matters for America. That's how it opens up. And then it quotes an executive, Jack Horner's explanation for the political donation, saying the company believes in the power of free markets and the RGA's pro-business agenda supports our priorities at this most critical time for our economy. And so, remember, that blew up to into a big controversy, and now Fox News just decided, okay, we'll air that, we'll play the game, and we'll do that. So they did, and now the controversy's over. But you can see why they didn't. We were trying to distance themselves from it. It's interesting to see what's going to happen with the Supreme Court ruling, because now the corporations can go out and do whatever they want to as far as candidates are concerned. I think you're going to start to see that materialize. We haven't seen too much of that yet, but I think we will in upcoming elections, maybe even a little bit in these midtermers, as we have 7 weeks pretty much in counting before everybody goes into the booth to vote, or if it's absentee ballot stuff. All right, let's move on to this one. The housing problems are now the number one subject of employee assistance calls. I mean, I guess this shouldn't be surprising. The housing crunch, and that's why we keep having people on to talk about it. You know, the other day we did a new segment called In Your Backyard and talked about, okay, what if you have to sell a home? Here's some things you can do. Because people are having problems, you need to try to stage it, and then what's happened with homeowners associations, because people are really going underwater with this housing crunch. So check this out. The housing problems for the first time replace child care. It's, like I said, the number one subject of employee assistance calls, rather. Of more than 25,000 calls from January to June of this year, 41% were related to moving. So of those, 77% were seeking help finding an apartment. Two-thirds of those seeking apartments said it was foreclosure related. Now, CompSych put all these together. They track the calls. They've been doing that since 1984. The company puts those programs together for like 13,000 different companies with 33 million workers across the board. So their statistics, I would say, are pretty good. Child care was always the top of the list, but that declined. Now it's all about moving, the moving category. This is crazy. In fact, the moving category increased by 14% in 6 months. So it shows what's happening is people are being probably forced to move, which was my point in trying to hurry up and sell a house. People are getting stuck, frankly, and that makes sense that they would call, and they're trying to figure out any way they can to get around the crunch when they're in a hurry, and they got to solve the problem. Speaking of solving the problem, I don't think anything's been solved here, and I think this honestly is one of the more horrific things that we heard about this year, and it has to do with Arlington Cemetery and the fiasco of who's buried where, and the fact that the records are all over the place and they're trying to sort them out. And in the USA Today, I happened to see it earlier in the morning. I was up and checked. I was going through the paper, and I happened to see this story. And it was about a 19-year-old Marine who was killed in Iraq in 2006, who was disinterred at the cemetery to ensure that his remains were in his grave. This is one where they confirmed it, and his coffin was returned to the original plot in Section 60. You know how they're marked off in different sections, but how sad that they even have to do that, because there was fear that the body was mishandled, and they didn't want to have to think about it. His family didn't want to worry about it, because it was so bad what happened to him with the IED that left his body too damaged. They couldn't have an open casket. The family didn't want to risk that the wrong person was there. Remember, an Army Inspector General's report found that 211 cases, at least so far, of mislabeled or unmarked graves now exist in three of the Arlington's 70 sections there, which is, again, still inexcusable and just absolutely outrageous. But all they can do is move forward and try to correct the problem with these crazy records and the haphazard burials of some of the people that were there and were doing the work. It's one of those things where you have to ask yourself, why? Why would someone do that? Ooh. Let's talk a little McDonald's here for a second. McDonald's is the largest fast food chain in the nation, and they're on a mission to become big in beverages. I think really what they're trying to do is to go after Starbucks. So the chain slowly has been rolling out iced frappes only since March, but the CEO, a guy named Jim Skinner, is saying that it's been impressive what they've seen when they went back and looked at the numbers in the stores. April, they had a 3.8% same store sales boost, and they say it's because of the iced drinks. So now they're going to offer smoothies. This isn't old school McDonald's anymore. It's not going to be about that. It's going to be about everything you want it your way, stealing a line from another fast food company. And what the people at McDonald's are saying is, look, you got $153 billion hanging out there, because that's the amount Americans spend on non-alcoholic beverages. That's what they spent last year. Are you kidding me? $153 billion? Does that seem like a high number to anybody? Specialty coffee, by the way. Have you ever gotten their specialty coffee? $13 billion market in the United States. You know, think of making a cup of joe at your house. I don't know. If you're tight on the cash, you might not want to make all those stops to Starbucks or McDonald's or whatever. I'm just saying, I understand from their perspective, they're going to make the cost a little bit lower and try to just steal everything they can from Starbucks. And hey, why not?